Hello.
Hello, it's Hano.
This is Connie.
How are you, Connie?
Good.
Are you at home yet?
Yes, I'm home, but I can't be on the computer today.
Okay. Actually,
thanks, Jade. Yeah, I was there.
I am going to start the class. Good morning. I hope you all will be careful the next 2 days, 3 days, including Tuesday. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Chimika. Da. Terra. Alephet Gimel Yudhat Chadi. This verse connects us to the phrase Ahavatinam through its gematria of 506. Ahavatinam translates as hatred or love for no reason. It translates as unconditional love. It translates as the level, what we need to do to change what we did that caused the destruction of the temple. Taberina Amcha Sagbenu Tahare Sufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell cross Satan, tear up Satan. They can be permutated to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, especially during this three-week period, because this is the active period for the Satan and his minions. He's active all the time, but especially active, and I'm sure you've noticed it in this period. Na Gibor, Dor Shehudu, Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet through its gematria of 57 connects us to the Hebrew word Zan. Zan means Parnassah. Parnassah means sustenance, the physical nourishment. But sustenance is more than that. It's also a spiritual nourishment. It's also fulfillment of spiritual path. All of the desires that we have. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barhem Tacharem Rachamei The Kaf is the letter that created the planet we call the Sun. The Sun has two names. It has the name Choten, and it has the name Shemesh. Shemesh is its internal name, its essence. And that's the name that translates as a servant. Choten translates as hot. That's its external name. The sun is obviously hot. What is these two names, and why does the sun have two names? Because the nature of the sun is this duality. where the sun can burn us up. Not the sun so much as the Leo people who have this gift to know what's right for each of us to do. When they go to tell us from the external level, they burn us up because we don't want to hear it. But when they have the consciousness of being a servant, of assisting us in our spiritual growth, then we are open to hear what they have to say. And their recommendations are always right on. This is the nature of the sun, ultimately being a servant that will help people grow. Chasin Kadosh Virov Tuka Nael Adata Tetufet Tetnunin. I am. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Did you thank anybody today yet? Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedusha. Yud Gimalamet, Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tviyatzatenu, Yodei. Shalomot. Shintufav Sariyutah. The first two letters spell 400 in Gematria. And 400 connects to completion and to perfection. The last four letters have the Gematria like the first verse, 506. And it connects to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, love for no reason. And it is through this attribute, by injecting this into our consciousness, each and every step of our process, that allows us to reach completion and allows us to attain perfection. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. We again have Zohar this week. I don't know about you, but I've missed it. I'm going to read from the second section titled Midnight, verse 4 of the Parasha Vayetchanan. Vayetchanan is a word. It's not exactly meaning prayer, beseeching. It's a deeper level of heartfelt desire. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeihem Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeihu Tachatzi Kaditar Ruach Tefon Pepalgut Leelya Vekarozah Nafik Vekutcha Barichu Ate Leginta De'edem Lishtasha Beruchechon Tzadikaya Kidein Mitare Kol Bnei Matronita Vekol Bnei Hekala Leshavcha Leile Malka Kadisha Ukein Kol Inum Bikdonim Derufin Bitmasron Ida Uhuati Vemarehon Veruba Come and see when the north wind awakens at midnight. The crier comes out and the Holy One, blessed be He, comes to the Garden of Eden to be delighted in the spirits of the righteous. And all the members of the Queen's household and all the members of the chamber are aroused to praise the Holy King, Zeron Pin. Then the deposits of the spirits handed to her, to Malkuth, are all returned to their owners. Most people awaken from their sleep at that time, and their deposits are returned to them all. And I always thought that the reason that I was waking up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning was because I'd been thrown out of the upper yeshivot for asking the wrong questions. That's a joke. Most people think they're waking up at that time because they have to go to the bathroom. But it's not true. It's the connection and the understanding of what's happening in the upper world. In fact, the Ari writes very clearly, the fact that you have to go to the bathroom at any given time is an indication of Satan being in control of your body. Does it interrupt you? Does it affect you? He even actually says that if you have a desire to go to the bathroom and there's no bathroom around, you should urinate in the street. Because to get rid of the Satan is more important than your public modesty. That last sentence is my interpretation of why. He didn't say why. He just said do it. Does it seem like I'm having a fun day? I had said last week we would study the Gimel today, but I realized there's a number of issues in the bet that we need to expand on. But before I start, does anybody have any questions on any subject?
You mentioned you conducted classes on the third temple. Is that reference to the one that was supposedly built in Ethiopia?
No. The third temple is based on prophecy. Third temple says, the prophecy says, that the third temple will come down from heaven, already built. And it will come down based on a prophecy in Ezekiel where he describes the dimensions and all of the inner discussions. And the book that we read was, which we haven't completed, but came close. That book is describing all of how all of the different buildings and structures all relate to different aspects of the Gematria and different aspects of the Tetragrammaton and other names of God. And it explains how the angels are fed from the temple. Human beings are fed from the temple, that ultimately every living thing is receiving the light of the Creator through the temple. And that's really what we lost, this easy structure of receiving our beneficence, our goodness. Because when we made a mistake, we had a tool to correct it that was simple. The internal work is still just as difficult as doing tshuva, but the process was much easier because we were required who appeared before God three times a year in the temple. And when we went there, the fact that we just walked into the temple elevated our consciousness. And that is what will return with the third temple. It will descend from heaven, already built, so it's a structure that has the essence of the spiritual worlds, and therefore is eternal. But we will also, the final aspect will be the doors of the temple. And the prophecy says we will lay that on ourselves. It's really worth reading, Joe. Are there any other questions? Okay. Let's continue talking about the bet. And as we said last week, the bet is composed of three vavs with a side open. What direction is that opening? North, south, east, or west? Who wants to take a guess?
West.
Why do you say west, Connie?
Just the way I teach first graders, north, south, east, west, never eat sour watermelon.
Okay. It's not the right answer, though.
Oh, too bad.
I couldn't hear you. Say again.
East.
East? Not the right answer. Joe, what was your answer?
Wherever the base is situated.
Yes.
How it's laid out, that's the direction the opening space is.
Agreed, but actually, the sages teach us that the opening to the bet is from the north. They also teach us that evil comes from the north. Now, what we have to understand what evil is, as in Kabbalah, I want to be very clear. Evil is a desire to receive for oneself alone. Any form of selfishness, any action done with the frame of consciousness of selfishness is considered evil and will return chaos into your life. But the idea of the opening being from the north, is connected to Gevura. It's connected to judgment. It's connected to power. Why do you think the opening is to the north?
That's where the power is coming from.
Why do we need an entrance to our house? Why can't we just seal ourselves in?
You need support.
I can look out through windows. And especially in modern technology, we can sit in our houses all day long. We can have food delivered. As long as there's money being put into the bank account, the whole process means I don't have to interact with anybody.
You can't share if you don't go out.
Say again?
You can't share if you don't go out of your house.
That's correct. You cannot do your work, your spiritual work. You can't share. You can't work on yourself. You can't interact. You can't see yourself because you need the mirror of other people to see yourself. So when you see another person and you see, I don't really like what they're doing, you have to understand that that's in you. And when you see that other person and you say, I really like what they're doing, I like that characteristic is in you and you're seeing it so that you can strengthen it. that's the
video.
Say again, Chris.
So, if we're interacting here on the video call, does that count?
I don't know. Do you change because I say something? Do I change because you ask a question? The answer, from my perspective, is yes. Because every comment that a student makes, I have to evaluate. I have to look at myself and say, what is this message? What is the mirror showing me? Because each of you are mirrors for me. But that's a level that I didn't have an hour ago. Because I should be a different person every hour. Of course, we're not that, we don't change that readily. We don't change that easily. So maybe it was last year at this time I was a different person. The point is, the opening is from the north. The opening is on the level of Gevurah. The opening is the way the world was to be created. Bet is the word Bereshit, first letter of that word, first letter of the Torah. The Bet includes the whole Torah. What is our understanding about why the world needed to be created with judgment? And then it's only later in the Torah that the Creator injects mercy. Now, obviously, mercy is included in the Bet, or it couldn't have been injected later. And that also teaches us it's really not Gevurah that the world was created with. It's Bina. Because Bina has the level of mercy as well as the level of Gevurah. Gevurah being below Chesed does not have that nature. Although within each Sferah there are 10 Sephirot. So there is a connection, but ultimately, the sphere above is the source and has that nature of whatever you're talking about within it. What is the Bet's purpose? What is the world's purpose in being born on or being created with the concept of judgment? We think of judgment as a negative thing, a bad thing, a slap on the hand, a slap on the face, boils on our body, whatever lack of wellness we receive, we think it's in terms of judgment. We did something negative, we receive chaos in return, that's the effect, that's judgment. Cause and effect is another form, another phrase meaning judgment. But what if that cause is positive? What if the person doing these actions are righteous? What if the action at that moment is righteous, even though the person is not yet at the level of righteous? But at that moment, he has reached Tzadikim. He has reached the level of righteousness. And he does a positive action. Why does he have to wait for his effect? Why can't he have all that goodness right now? This is judgment. This is our understanding of how we can achieve the beneficence of the light, the goodness of the light. We don't have to wait. We only have agreed to wait because of the negativity that we do. We don't want that pain right now. We don't want to walk into the store and reach for the candy with the plans to walk out without paying for it. And as soon as we reach for it and touch it with that consciousness, our hand falls off. That's judgment. Cause and effect. Judgment isn't a problem unless what we do is selfish. That's why the bet comes from the north. Now let's talk a little bit. Why does man have free choice? There's predestination, where everything is known, and it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be poor, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be in pain, you're going to be in health. All of these things are predestined because of the movie that you're in. We know, yes, we can change the movie. But within the movie, everything is known, everything is predestined. That's one aspect. But we're taught that Hashem values free choice. That's the purpose of why he's created the Satan. Given the Satan the job of make us busy with him to lengthen the process. Satan knows he cannot win. He's not in trying to win. That's not his job from his perspective. From our perspective, many people see him that way. But what is he really doing? He's just making you busy with him, taking you away from the Creator, making the path back to the Creator longer. Why does the Creator value free choice?
So we can earn the light.
So we can earn the light. That is the answer. But what does it mean, Connie? Light,
our
in that
effort required.
Say again?
Effort is required.
Effort is required. Why?
Because we wanted it that way. We didn't want the free ride.
Yes.
That we had in the beginning garden.
Yes, but why did we feel that way? What caused us to feel that way? Nothing we feel doesn't come from an attribute of the Creator. Nothing we feel doesn't come from the Creator. If the Creator felt that it's important for us to earn the light, he would have created us that way. And in fact, he did. That's where the source of bread of shame comes from. This feeling is an attribute of the Creator, but not a major attribute. And we're removing it, and it will go back into potential for the Creator. As we remove it, it disappears from the Creator. Can we do anything that affects the Creator? Ultimately, no. But metaphorically, as we remove bread of shame, we change the Creator because we're changing ourselves. The Creator values free choice because if you choose something, you cause that thing to happen. There can be no fulfillment without movement by the vessel. The vessel has a desire. The desire causes the vessel to move. The fulfillment is always there, but we don't know how to receive it, as we say in the earlier classes. The fulfillment is always there. How do we reach that fulfillment? In our daily life, through movement, through desire, through yearning. Free choice creates a consequence to our action. If everything was always beneficent, if every action you did gave you pleasure, would you move? Would you reach? Would you grow? Would you move from the childhood to adulthood? This is the cause of growth. Free choice. Consequence. And this is an aspect of the best. It has the duality of predetermination and free choice. In the unity of the light, in the Aleph, there's no free choice. We can't see anything but light, but goodness. We don't see any separation. And therefore, we don't move. We don't reach. We don't grow. Why did the Bet start the Torah? That's the answer, or one of them. Now we are taught, there's a verse in Proverbs, all is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven. What's the meaning of this verse? All is in the hands of heaven, except the fear of heaven. What's the mark? The mark says that's free choice. Joe's about to say something.
Yeah, You have a choice to not to fear.
A choice not to fear. Fear is not a bad thing in this context, Joe. Fear is a translation of the Hebrew word yirah. Comes from vision, from sight. Yirah gets translated. There are two attributes in yirah. One is awe, and one is fear. So some people will do their actions out of fear of punishment. I'll lay tefillin, Leina Rob, God forbid. I lay tefillin because I'm afraid. If I don't lay tefillin, God's going to punish me. Now, most people laugh at this, but there are people in this world who do their spiritual actions from the frame of fear, of fear of punishment, of fear of the consequence that God will be angry with them. This is what they've been taught, this is what they've learned, and this is the path that they follow. And that is considered a first step to the level, the higher level of awe, to be so overwhelmed by the concept of the Creator that you do things to please him. All is in the hands of heaven except the awe of heaven. Let's look at it that way. Tamar says, this action to have awe is free choice. This is what causes us to change, to move. Fear at the lower level, awe at the higher level, this is what causes us to move.
fear is a motivating factor.
Yes, fear is a motivating factor. So is awe. Look at the Grand Canyon. Stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon, look out, and you go to a place called awe. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God, but I'm still overawed by that view. It's beautiful. It's majestic. I don't have words to describe it. I'm in awe. I can stand there for hours contemplating whatever created this. Well, the river created it. Over millions of years, the river, you know, wore away the mountain. And now it's whatever number of feet down in the canyon. It's over awe. Now, some people will accept the river did it. The river created it. It's natural process. Doesn't mean there's a creator. Free choice. Now, we are taught that the Mashiach will close the open side. The integration of free will and omniscience. Omniscience means you become like God. You know everything. You don't have free will anymore. You're just sharing. You're just taking care of the next person. And by virtue of that attitude, the bet closes. The house closes in. But how large is that house? Who's included inside that house? All of the Jewish people? All of humanity? All of creation? Who's in the house? What does a four-sided bet look like? What letter? It looks like a mem sophit, the closed mem. And we'll talk about that mem when we get to it. But how can it be that we're going to lose a letter? Where is the fourth vav coming from?
From our sharing, I would guess.
From sharing, that's an excellent, excellent explanation, excellent thought, Connie. What does it mean at the Mashiach, the days of Mashiach, the days of serenity? What does it mean that the bet will be closed? It's from this teaching that the sages say we will no longer accept converts. There will no longer be people able to become Jewish. They will be able to become righteous Gentiles, but they will not be able to become Jewish. This is all aspects of the Beth. Of the house. the soul is a house for God, the daughter of the priest, Bat Kohen. In today's world, there are groups of people attempting to modify for the purposes of gender and for equality. And they refer to the dukkanim, the priestly blessing. They want the women, the bat kohen, the daughter of a priest, to be able to come up and do the priestly blessing for the people. And I'm going to bring up a teaching that came out of the Third Temple teachings. There is a part of the Temple Mount, part of the temple described as the woman's courtyard. And that women's courtyard represents, according to the Rabbi Luzzatto, that woman's courtyard represents the angels of Yetzirah. This is where they are fed. It doesn't mean that it's females, human females, go there. It doesn't mean that the restriction between male and female is necessary. And that actually is based on archaeology. That is a theory that modern archaeologists are playing with. Because as they go back in time, and they go back into the writings, and they go back into the physical structure of the temple, they never find that women were in the women's courtyard. That women represents the concept of female, not a human woman. It's a totally different understanding. But what is an understanding about the bet, as we mentioned, the bet is a female letter. It's female relative to the Aleph, but it's male relative to the Gimel, because the house, the female, gives birth to the Gimel. Each letter in the order of the alphabet includes all of the other letters that come after it. And it gives birth directly to the letter behind it, in the order of the alphabet. This is a very deep understanding, and it takes a lot of contemplation to come to terms with this. What is male? Sharing. What is female? Receiving. What is the ultimate goal of a vessel? To receive in order to give pleasure to the Creator. That is considered sharing. Reception is sharing. This is the understanding of the unity in the Ein Sof, between sharing and receiving. By receiving, the vessel shares. This is the nature of a house. By receiving, the people, the things, the aspects, the house shares. It protects. It does many male things. This is all included in the duality of the bet. Where do you see the duality? In the physical form of the bet, where do you see the duality? In that little foot on the bottom line that goes off to the right. That's where you see the duality. That little foot represents the yesod. How does the house get its energy? How does the bet get its birth? Its navel cord is that little foot off to the right.
Does that represent the foundation?
The bottom represents the foundation. And connected to the foundation is the little foot. Connected in the tree of life, yesod translates as foundation. Yesod is that the male organ that is always connected to the female. That relationship of yesod and malchut is how the unity of everything comes into our world. How all the mazel, the flow of beneficence comes into our world through the foundation, through the yesod, to the malchut. So that bottom line is malchut, but connected to malchut is always yesod, and that's what the little foot on the bet represents. There's a Hebrew word called schut. When I first heard this word in my study of Kabbalah, I didn't understand it. As an American, I was framed and taught equality. Equality is treasured as a value by Americans. And here come these Israeli teachers telling me about schut. And they translated it as merit. You have the merit to receive this. You have the merit. You don't have the merit. What is all of this dealing with?
Doesn't merit imply earning it, get earned?
Does it? If you're born into a wealthy family, do you have the merit to receive this money? Did you earn it? You have the merit by virtue of your lineage. But did you earn it? The most unhappy people in the world. If you married it, you earn it. I'll accept that. By the same token, if you bought the lottery ticket and you won, you've got $200 million in your pocket. Do you have the merit to have that money? According to statistics, according to the studies, the people who win the lottery end up losing the money within a few years. It gets stolen from them, it gets scammed from them, it's gone. They're not real happy because they didn't have the merits. So is there earning it? Yes, there is, Joe. In our world, we know we can't keep what we don't earn. And merit has an essence of earning. But we don't call it earning. We call it hierarchy. And that's what I came to understand about the word schut. It has a hierarchical process, hierarchical image. In a country that values equality, hierarchy doesn't work. And yet there's an amazing desire on the parts of Americans to follow the British royalty. Hierarchy. There's an attraction there. It's not understood. Where does it come from? It comes from this dupet. It comes from the house. It comes from the concept of hierarchy complexity. I can't be what I want.
Hierarchy implies you were born into a hierarchy too.
In the old days, in the days of the feudal system, your father was a plumber, you were a plumber. Your father was a blacksmith, you were a blacksmith. Your father was a farmer, you were a farmer. You were born into the hierarchy, and you treated the royalty different than you treated yourself. Is that gone? In America, that's considered an inappropriate limitation. What is the value of hierarchy? Is there a value to hierarchy?
But there's an illusion in America of upward mobility.
It's not an illusion. Just look at all of Tom Cruise. Just look at every movie star. It's not an illusion. They have millions of fans that are adulating them, adulation for them.
But the odds of coming down are very slim. Very, very.
Where's your certainty? You think that they manifested where they are without certainty that they would get there?
No, sir. It's just a chance happening.
Oh, it's a chance happening. There's no creator, correct? And
that's the odd. Okay, but why Obama became Obama, became president? He came from the same us, or the same by the same token, Clinton.
Because all of the other candidates self-destructed. I'm going to make that argument. They all self-destructed, and he was the only one that people could vote for that made any sense. Or he presented a plan that made perfect sense at that time, and the next day changed. And now it's back because his approval rating is back. People are fickle. People change their mind. People are creatures of emotion in our world. Our world is an illusion. Emotion is an illusion. What's the definition of an illusion? Something that changes. Does the creator ever change?
No.
No. Reality is no change. This is the duality of the bets. Change and no change. How many times have you heard the more things change, the more they remain the same?
All the time. I hear that on TV all the time.
It's been a while since I've watched TV. I didn't remember them saying that.
Yeah, it's all the time, yeah.
The more things change, the more they remain the same. This is the duality of the bet. This is the number two. Do we change? Does a child change when it becomes an adult? Is it the same child in a different covering? Did we take that little boy or that little girl into the adult with us? I didn't hear. I was talking. What did you say,
okay.
Joe?
There's a lot of psychologists that dispute that. They say we have an inner child. You know, this other psychobabble you hear all the time.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Did we take the little boy and the little girl into the adult with us? And therefore, the adult is just a larger version of the little child. The more things change, the more they remain the same. Is the bet the Aleph, or is it the duality? Now, how does this affect my life today. What is this learning teaching you? Quiet. Nobody wants to guess.
In order to have change, you have to have growth.
But do we grow? Or we just put on a different set of clothing? A different image? Do we grow? Do we change?
Not really.
That's very pessimistic, Joe. I'm surprised at you. You're such an optimist. The answer is we do change. The more we change, the more we stay the same. We change in the physical world and remain the same in the spiritual world. In the end, so we have a feeling of bread of shame. The changes we make in this world remove that feeling, because that feeling is an illusion in the endless world. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's not there. We felt it, and this process we're in this physical world teaches us not to feel it. And that's the understanding that helps us be joyful when things are difficult, when things are painful, when things don't go the way we expected them to go. It's understanding this illusionary reality that is represented by the duality of the bet. And that's how this learning helps us in our life today.
Can you relate that back to how you started with the word merit? I'm losing the connection there.
The word merit, the word schut, has a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
The hierarchy is self-imposed. The hierarchy is societally imposed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hierarchy. There is something called a king. A king is higher than the other nobles. The other nobles are higher than the peasants or the middle class, and the middle class is higher than the peasants.
In the physical world.
I'm sorry?
In the physical world.
In the physical world, yes. But in the spiritual world, there's still a hierarchy. Except that those peasants, they're the nobles. Those people that we think so lowly of, they're the ones on top. The hierarchy is a mirror image in the spiritual world, in the end self, in the endless world. We have numbers of stories out of the Hasidic movement dealing with dreams. One story in particular, the son comes to his father, and I had a really strange dream. I dreamed about this baker in town. I dreamed about the plumber in town. I dreamed about the farmer in town. I saw all of the people from our town. But the rabbi wasn't the rabbi. He was the garbage collector. And the garbage collector was the rabbi. How do I understand this, Dad? This was the question. His father said very simply, this is an upside-down world. We live in a world of illusion, and what you saw was the reality. The garbage collector, because of his willingness to be humble, to do the work that nobody else would do, is raised on high in that endless world. That's merit. That's the
and
true
the homeless
myth.
Too? Like the homeless as well?
The homeless, it depends on how do you think of the homeless? The ultimate homeless is the guy I put the penny in his palm and he doesn't say anything. He just puts it in his pocket and walks away. And what happens? I have to run after him to try and get him to take more. And he won't. Because he doesn't care. This is the merit in our world that is upside down in our world. The truth, the reality. Look in this world, who's on top? In the spiritual world, they're on bottom. This is the duality of the Beth, of the house. And this is what helps us in understanding how to deal with our life. How to make changes in our life. Any other questions?
In our Tibet house, is three vas? Is it made up of three vas?
It's made up of three vas, yes. Vav on the top, vav on horizontal, two horizontal and one vertical.
And it's a little
knob
on the bottom.
And one of the vavs is slightly longer, or the vav is narrowed at its foot on the vertical. It's different ways they're drawn to see it. A few announcements. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, not Tuesday, we will be studying Zohar at 5 p.m. This is all Pacific Coast time. 5 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and also at 10 p.m. on Thursday. Monday night starts the fast. There won't be a 7 o'clock Sefer Yetzirah class. It's canceled. We will meet again next Monday, a week from Monday. I think that's the 15th, which is the Tu B'Av, the holiday of Tu B'Av, is on the 15th day of August. Wednesday, there's a class on 10 luminous emanations at 7 p.m. And there is also a class at 10 p.m. That's on Wednesday. The class on Wednesday at 10 will be continuing some of the readings from the sages. And there's a class at 10 p.m. on Tuesday that will be reading from the sages. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
That's sorry, I touched my computer. It said a letter to me.
Okay. And then next Sunday, we will have the class on the Gimel. Any questions before
that?
I sign out?
Next
sorry?
Sunday is the Gimel. Next Sunday is the Gimel at 10. Correct?
At 10 a.m., yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Chris.
Good night. Bye.